Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. On March 1st, Port Hope got a new police chief. Tim Farguson arrived from Peterborough, where he has spent his entire 36 years in policing. In this interview, you will hear the chief talk about his career, from when he started as a young constable in Lakefield until he stepped down as deputy chief for the Peterborough Police. You will hear his thoughts on the budget and other initiatives, plus he will give his plans on the first 100 days. Have a listen. I'm so pleased to have with me today Port Hope Police Chief Tim Farguson. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's get to know you a bit before we start talking about anything else. Now, you began your policing career in 1986 with the Peterborough Lakefield Community Police Service. Do you remember those early days and what was it like?
I do. It was the early days. It was a lifetime calling for me. So I knew when I was 10 years old what I wanted to do. My challenge was my height. I wasn't tall enough at the time in early 1980s. So I just kept going to school. But eventually there was a charter argument that won and I got a call back in an interview and was successful and started in 1986 with Peterborough. And the early days, all I wanted to do was get out in that cruiser and respond to calls, help the community. And it was still a busy community, different challenges than what's being faced now, but still busy because domestics have been around for many, many years, robberies, break and enters, missing people, mental health issues, forms of addiction issues, mainly alcohol and solvents back then, with, you know, their cocaine was just kind of starting in Peterborough where there was group and there's a small amount of heroin, but you knew who those were users were at that time. But it was a busy city with a small city with big city problems.
Now you said you had wanted to be a cop since you were 10. Now in looking back at your education, I mean, you went to private school at Lakefield College, just north of Peterborough, and then you went on to a number of post-secondary schools, I think Trent, Fleming, Carleton, before you got into policing. What were you like as a young man back then?
To be honest with you, I was shy and introverted. Didn't have many friends. Battled anxiety. I couldn't even go away from home. Couldn't go to camp. I ran away from camp when I was 13 or 14. Just battled those challenges that people face. And I had bad anxiety, to be honest with you. And I felt I had no friends at that time. I mainly kept to myself. I was pretty quiet. I got involved in sports and different things, but didn't have a lot of self-confidence in those days as well.
When you look back at all the diverse things you've done as a police officer and all the training you've done in a wide variety of areas, can you share a story that would encapsulate your what you would say is your proudest achievement thus far?
The proudest achievement, I'd have to say, was probably, because it was a challenge at the time, was the Peterborough drug strategy. So with that, the deaths we were losing. So to picture Peterborough, population of 85,000 at the time, 75 to 85,000 in the early 2000s. We come up against a drug called OxyContin. Purdue Pharma, we know all about that, 1998-99, and what happened there. Doctors being told that it's non-addictive, and I don't want to get into the history of that. But in the early 2000s, Peterborough, the robberies were going up, break and enters. I was getting calls from the school about the addiction levels, people finding diversion from their parents who had a legal prescription. It may have been from a dentist. It may have been from a doctor. It may have been from a fall or an accident. That was another piece. Our crime rates. Our sex trade workers, we had 26 sex trade workers in Peterborough walking the streets. Souls, I'm not talking about the hotels. I'm not talking about escort agencies. I'm talking about souls on the street that we identified and reached out as officers, not to arrest them, to talk to them and try and build trust and find out what was going on. All 26 sex trade workers out there because of opioid addiction. Why? Root cause, sexual assault by intimate family, brothers, uncles, grandfathers in that. Why are we taking drugs? To kill psychological, emotional, or physical pain, right? That's basically why you're doing it, to escape that pain. So I took a vast interest in that, a big interest in that. And we got several community agencies together. And in 2006, we had meetings and we decided we were going to form a drug strategy. What happened shortly after is we pulled out as police and said, okay, we'll leave it over to the partners. We got to get back to enforcement. That's our role. But what happened is when the police pull out, we can bring people together, the police. That just happens. But when we pull out, other agencies say, well, if they don't care, and the community says, the police don't care, then people drop off. So in 2008, we regrouped, got a group together of 70 community agencies in the basement of Peterborough Public Library. Brought those agencies together, had speakers, and stayed with what was called the Peterborough Drug Strategy, which we formed in 2008. It became an award-winning strategy through Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police. And the work that group has done, those four pillars, all working together, those the treatment, the prevention, education, enforcement, harm reduction, all working together, this problem would be so much worse than it already is. Again, we're losing, in Peterborough, they were losing now 55 people last year, right? And I'm going back to 2000 when we were losing 12 to 17. And we, as a community, had to figure this out, what we were going to do ourselves. And that's what we started doing. So that would probably be the proudest moment I had, bringing those agencies together, forming that strategy and going from there. Again, after that, there's been a natural effect of naloxone, safer supply, CTS, all those other things. But that was kind of the catalyst. And for me, it was a paradigm shift that enforcement can't do it alone. Where you think you're setting the world on fire because you're making all these amazing arrests, getting guns off the street, which is great, getting the traffickers in prison, but there's more traffickers and there's more. We have to, obviously enforcement is responsible for the interdiction, slowing things down, making it tougher for the criminals, showing that it's not lucrative because you're going to jail. Those are the things that the police have to do, right? On production, on labs, clandestine labs. That's what we want to concentrate on. The problem is the challenge has gotten so big, the crisis has gotten so great that we can't control it right now, even with all of us working together. And as I said, if we weren't, it would be so much worse. So there's still a lot of work to do, which keeps me motivated, keeps me challenged. And I've been blessed when I came down to Port Hope to be able to, the board supported me staying, doing the jobs I'm doing at the federal, national level, and at the provincial level as well, being part of those teams off the corner of my desk. I still have my responsibilities in Port Hope for the community and keeping it safe. But to be able, it was great for Peterborough and it's great for Port Hope now to have somebody in this position. Again, I don't look at it as running a police service. I'm supporting a police service. Don't forget, I always remember the frontline copper, right? Who's out there, because that's what I'm doing. And that's what the rest of us are doing in the service. We're all an important cog, important piece, but the real important piece of it is answering those calls, getting to those emergencies, working the night shifts, working 24/7, right? So I'm blessed to be in Port Hope, who have been so welcoming, Robert. It's I can't even begin to explain how great this board has been, the police services board. You have all the members of the board, from the mayor through the chair, the vice chair, and the rest of that group. Previous members as well have been supportive. The CAO, David Smith. You could just, there's so many people that have been so helpful. Like I come in to work and just see such a great group of people that are energetic and really happy you're here. And I can't ask for more. It's starting again. I feel like a kid after 36, 25 years of this.
Well, what is it like to come from a big police force like Peterborough to a smaller force like Port Hope?
It's honestly, people keep on messaging me, well, it must be really quiet. You must be really bored. Not at all. We're going meeting to meeting, because at this level, it's about engagement. It's about community engagement and collaboration. It's about community agencies getting out there. What can we do together? And meeting as many as you can. I just was at Rebound at Child Youth Services. Wow, incredible people. I met a number of them. I think there was 11 of the 18 working that day, and sat down with three of them, including Cara Beauchamp, the lead, Jennifer Julia. I could go on about the people there and what they're doing. And I was just so amazed and so excited about what this group's doing. I'm going to meet David Sheffield, a Greenwood Coalition, right? And I got to get over to Cornerstone. It's going to be so busy just learning. And so you ask about what the difference is. Honestly, there's the same there's a lot of the same challenges with budget, with manpower, with the size of the building that's they've already outgrown. It's almost like I feel like I'm back in Peterborough with just smaller challenges, less of it, but it's still overwhelming. People that are often occupational stress injuries. It's still happening in Port Hope. It's happening in Cobourg. It's happening, not just Peterborough, right? It's happening all across North America. And it's going to make it really tough for policing to stay sustainable if we don't figure out these issues. So I have so much work to do. And just learning a new system, everything is new for me here, like a lot of it, right? The policing part I get, but there's just so many other nuances and intricacies and the history of Port Hope and the history of the police service, which I'm excited about, right? But again, there's so much collaboration to do here, and I've got the energy to do it still.
You've talked already about the issues of homelessness and opioids, which are two really big issues in our region. How does your approach change? You've talked about it at a national level, a provincial level. You've talked about it from a big city level. When you look at the situation and looking at your strategies, how do you apply those to Port Hope? And what are you going to bring to the table that's maybe going to be different that might change some of the landscape here locally?
Well, the good thing is that I have patience. I love people. I don't make any judgments. I'm going to be meeting with the OPP, with Cobourg, because I've noticed how close that relationship is with OPP, Cobourg, and Port Hope Police. And we're going to discuss strategies in regards to, you know, street crime units, what you can do on the crime piece of it. But again, we're good at that. In policing, we are good at that. We've kind of got that part of it nailed. What we don't have is perfectly yet is working with the community, being humble, realizing we don't know what else can we do. And I'll still carry on fundraising and board work here that I'm moving from Peterborough to Port Hope. I'm bringing everything that I did in Port Hope, or in Peterborough, to Port Hope. That includes fundraisers. Before I even started, I went to the Coldest Night of the Year walk, right down at the lakefront. And we walked it, raising funds and awareness for homelessness. That was before I started the job. So that's going to continue to at the grassroots level. And about treating every human being, speaking to people with mental health, addiction issues, and all that, and treating them as human beings, making the proper referrals, making sure our officers know what referrals are out there, because you can go from call to call, but it's having that philosophy of getting to the root cause so you don't have to get back to that call. As Desmond Tutu said, as the Community Safety and Wellbeing Plan said, I want to adhere to what they're saying. Let's not be dragging somebody out of the bottom of the river. Let's catch them before they've fallen in. Let's get those early interventions with people and with our youth. And that's going to be a lot of it is the youth. Early interventions so that before they hit the judicial system, we've figured out when they first come into contact with the law and we have an ability to do something, let's look at every single avenue so that we're treating that person with respect. We still have to deal with whatever the behavior is because we're all accountable for our behavior. But again, we want to get to the root cause of the problem.
Would you be willing to explore safe injection sites and some of the other things that you were doing in Peterborough in a community like Port Hope? I mean, are those options?
You have to be open to that. And so how I look at it is, it's not the police role to make it happen. What the police role is to support our experts, our subject matter experts in Northumberland County. Let's just, instead of just saying Port Hope, because I'm noticing right off the bat how this community is so immersed in each other, like the people and how close the proximity and how this is, you know, Port Hope is the first hybrid board I've sat on. So the OPP and the police service, both on the same board. That only happens in a few places in Ontario. So I'm looking at the Northumberland piece. It's working together and exploring that. So if our subject matter experts, the medical officer of health, those people come to me and say, Tim, we need your support. We need your advocacy. And those are the experts who tell me what is needed in those areas that aren't enforcement. And then that's when I'll write the letters. I've done it before for the CTS in Peterborough and Safer Supply. I've written the letters, advocated, sat on boards, sat on committees, sat on steering committees, offered our advice on locations and different things that the police can do on crime prevention through environmental design, crime prevention through social development. That's my area of expertise. The other, I listen. I sit back and find out what we need to do in these communities to help out. And I'll be part of that.
I'd like to shift gears for a moment and talk a little bit about the administrative side. Now, you've been through the budget process many times. With all the pressures on municipal councils to control spending, how do you hope to keep police spending in line?
It's a challenge right now for every single police service across the country and every single police leader. You're being hit from every angle. And as I said to you earlier, Robert, one of the biggest challenges is the number of people in all emergency services that are off the front line that aren't able to come to work because of occupational stress injuries of various kinds. All the things that we look here at the micro level, we'll do that with the team and sit down and we'll start having meetings, and we'll have probably 3 meetings a week. They might only be half an hour on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning, and look at the budget and sit down. What are we doing? What lines are we over at? What risk are we at? Let's look at the long term too for the year. Like I look here, they're just getting new tasers. Well, that's a $35,000 expenditure. But some of those things are legislated changes. They're mandated. We don't have control over it. So that's another piece of the budget that the community needs to understand. But it's about being open, being transparent, working with the board, looking at taking the board's direction, their goals and directives, what the board is looking for, being transparent with the board about what we need to spend on, try to plan a year in advance, although things will come up, but try and get into that get the team used to, we need to forecast, what do we need next year, is the board. But it's about paying attention to it, making sure your members take it seriously, being careful with equipment. Those are some of the smaller things that we hadn't mentioned yet. But there's a lot to it. And it's not going to get any easier, Robert, for any police service.
You've not always faced smooth sailing when it comes to your policing career. Now, back in 2015, 2016, you were in a pretty serious dispute over compensation, and your police service board was declared dysfunctional by the Ontario Civilian Police Commission. What happened and what lessons did you take away from those experiences that apply to you as a leader in policing today?
I think, and those started in 2012. That's when that started. It finished up in 2015, 2016 with the mediation, the settlements, in regards to settling the mediation. You learn that you do every single thing you can before those things get involved. Sometimes you try to follow the rules, you try to follow board policy, you try to follow, but you sometimes being too risk adverse is not a good thing. Sometimes you have to reach out and say, look, let's cut through this. Let's have a face-to-face meeting. Let's get the lawyers out of this. Because I'll be honest with you, you can get a lawyer to say anything, argue any case, and the lawyers can all of a sudden start going on their own. And don't get me wrong, there's some amazing lawyers out there, but the lawyers can sometimes take off on their own. And the next thing you know, you're into the middle of something that, man, could we have, was there a way to possibly talk a little bit more at the beginning, face-to-face, and work this out as people? So that's what I learned before anything, is that to try and face-to-face meetings are so much better than before you involve the legal experts, so to speak. Do everything you possibly can, so you know at the end of the day you've done that. And if you end up in a litigation or something, then just be on the right side. And if you go through the Sandler report, Mark Sandler report, it explains it all. There was a full investigation on everyone, on everybody, through that by Mark Sandler, a top Canadian criminal lawyer in the country, who explains it all. And it's a 15-minute read for anyone who wants to read it, and they'll explain it.
What kind of a person are you when you're not wearing your uniform? What do you do for fun?
Oh, I've got 32 animals. I've got big horses. I've got little horses. I've got a donkey. I've got a miniature horse that's the size of a Great Dane. I have alpacas. I should say we have alpacas. Chickens, sheep, a couple little baby sheep, 2 different types of goats, I think 6 of those, a rescue dog from South Korea that was a meat dog who we still have, and another dog, 2 dogs, basically the farm, and kids who love the farm and grandkids, and that's my time, my family, I have a motocross track that I'm in my, what am I, 61 now, and I'm still jumping 65 feet. I don't know how long, much longer I could do that, but that's kind of my fun thing. And then I have a gym built into my garage that I can try and stay healthy. But family and animals,
Can you tell us a bit about your family?
Yeah, I've got a 32-year-old daughter. She's a teacher. She has two young children, Selin and Sutton, two young girls. She's married to a firefighter in Peterborough. He played professional hockey, then was a firefighter in Oakville, and then transferred to Peterborough. So he's a fireman, she's a teacher with the two kids. Then I have a son who's going through as an apprentice for an elevator technician, and he has a little boy, and his wife is a emergency room nurse, and he's 30. Then I have a 28-year-old, she's 27. She will be 28 soon, and she's a nurse in Sault Ste. Marie. Her boyfriend is a flight terminal, I've lost for words, in the terminal brings in the planes.
Wow.
So okay. That's his job. And then a daughter who's 12, who's right into horses, and she's the only one still at home. Air traffic controller. Sorry, Kai is an air traffic controller. I was having a mental block there. Long day. So Chelsea's the oldest, then Holden, and then Sydney, the nurse, and the Sioux. Then Hannah is at home, and she's in the equestrian riding. She's going to the World Equestrian Center this weekend in Ohio. They're driving down, and she's going to do some competing down there. So hence my world of horses. And my wife, Jen, is a paramedic and has been for 19 years, almost 20 years now in Peterborough. And now is a community. Just got off the what we call the first response into community paramedicine, which is a great program, proactive program. She's been doing now for a couple of years and loves that. So, and I said my three sisters are still in, and their husbands all in Peterborough, and 17 nephews and nieces. So everyone keeps me on my toes, and I'm sure I keep them on their toes more than they do me.
Going forward, what is it you hope to get done within the next 100 days?
Meet with every single person in this organization, sworn and civilian, and volunteer, and that includes the auxiliary. Meet with the OPP, that'd be Inspector Jeff Martin, who's going to be, I believe, retiring soon, but I want to meet with him and get some information from him and his staff sergeant and sergeants on everything that they can help me with. I want to learn as much as possible. I want to sit down with Chief Paul Vandegraff, who I've known for a number of years and is a friend of mine, and now we're working together. And Jeff Haskins, the deputy, and people there. I want to meet with all the community agencies. I want to meet with the HBIA, because those are the things I did in Peterborough. And those are the things that were successful for me, was community collaboration and meeting every single person. Then the community citizens, taking part in the fundraisers, putting a report to the board of what needs to be done here and what to support the service in the best way possible. What efficiencies can we find? How can we do better business? So that's what I want to do in the first 100 days, be out there. And that's what I'm trying to do each day, is balancing everything, learning about the budget here, learning about all the challenges here, meeting those people, but also getting out in the community and scheduling meetings. And that's what I'm doing. And there's little things that you can always do, little things that aren't little decisions that can be made, smaller decisions. But I want to get to know what needs to be done before just coming in like a bull in a china shop, so to speak. Talk to everybody and inform those ideas, and work with the board, because they're my boss, right? That's the direction. But how I look at it here, Robert, is I'm the least amongst everybody. I can't do it without them. I need them, the front line, more than they need me. And keeping that approach has helped me. And so that's where I'm going, and listening to the community. What do we need to keep Port Hope as a safe place to live, work, and play, the safest possible place?
Chief Tim Farquharson, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you very much, Robert.
That was Port Hope Police Chief Tim Farquharson. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.